Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is my good friend, Matt Slick. We have a treat for you today. I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit. Matt Slick is the head of CARM.org, Christian Apologetics Research Ministry. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Bill.
It's kind of a reciprocating. I've been on your show many times when I'm in the Boise area. Of course, that's a live show. We take phone calls. This is recorded, so this is a little bit better because I can edit you.
Yeah, this is the first time you've had me on. I think you're taking a risk.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. I think you've got a lot to offer the Christian community, and we want to kind of broaden our perspective here because, as we do here on Viewpoint on Mormonism, of course, we deal with the subject of doctrine and history, dealing with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but you deal with many more subjects.
Right.
Many more subjects. Just name some of the issues that you have discussed on your show, which is Matt Slick Live, which airs out of Boise, Idaho, but it kind of goes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so you get a lot of phone calls. I remember being on with you, and we were getting phone calls from all over the place, all over the country, even the world. So
we got a call from Kosovo last week. We've had it from Berlin and New Zealand. And nothing from outer space yet, but we're hoping.
What are some of the topics that you feel the Christian community needs to be aware of? Now, we deal, of course, with Mormonism. You deal with Jehovah's Witnesses. You've named some of the subjects because...
Yeah, we deal with Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam. We deal with Roman Catholicism. We're going to be getting into Eastern Orthodox, Hinduism, Buddhism. We deal with atheism, logic, Christian theology. We discuss obscure groups a lot of people don't know about, the Raelians, for example, and the guy named Vandersick or something like this, the seventh generation in the line of heaven. He's, you know, all kinds of odd people and all odd things. And,
now, that's what we do. Now, you and I devoting our lives to the topic of apologetics, it's real easy for people who don't really understand what we do or why we do it to naturally assume that, boy, those guys just don't like anybody. In other words, that's how they interpret it. It's you don't like. It's not, they don't usually say that, you know, you just disagree with everybody. We don't disagree with everyone, but certainly coming from a biblical worldview, and there are a lot of people out there who do not hold to a biblical worldview, naturally, we are going to take a stand, and we're going to respond to that. What do you do when you get people, and I know you do, you get people who think, oh, you guys are just the most arrogant. We had one Mormon lady write us and say something like that. We are so puffed up, it makes her puke. And she couldn't give a specific as to what we said to give that impression other than we're pretty confident in what we talk about. And I think they confuse confidence with arrogance sometimes. Would you agree?
Yes, I would. Now, when people email me and say I'm arrogant, I say, yes, that's true. I just claim the sins that they accuse me of, within reason, of course, and say, yeah, that's true. However, look what is said. Is it true? Are the facts there? And just try and point people to the information and the facts and Jesus and try and get them off of me personally and onto the issues.
I think that's very important. Unfortunately, you and I would both strenuously agree that the Christian church is certainly in a mess when it comes to Christians knowing what they believe. That's why I think people like you are so important, because you're a resource that people can go to when they have a question about a particular group and they're not quite sure where this group is coming from. Right. Because let's be serious, folks, you don't normally find a lot of the false groups coming out and admitting they're false groups. They're going to come across as if they are, in fact, angels of light and that they have the truth. And they're going to try to persuade you in a way to get you to abandon what you believe and, of course, go to their side and think the way they think. What is one of the best remedies for that?
to learn the truth. I have discovered over the past 10 years, now I've been studying apologetics and stuff for about 32, and I do a lot of marriage counseling. This is going to sound a little off topic, but it actually relates. I discovered during marriage counseling when I counsel couples is that doctrine, biblical doctrine in so many different areas was solving so many problems. And it kind of got me thinking because, you know, when you want to know if Mormonism's true, you read the scriptures. Is Jehovah's Witness true or false? You read the scriptures. Is Islam true? You read the scriptures. You go against the scriptures as a final authority. So the more I've learned about the Word of God and the more memorization I've had in scriptures and concepts and ideas, the more I've found that this really is something that is super, super important. Most Christians I've found don't even know if Jesus is a man right now, don't know why he was baptized, couldn't tell the difference between justification and sanctification. And you don't have to know the difference between the hypostatic union and the communicatio idiomatum, though that would help. But those kind of things are for advanced levels. Most Christians just don't even know the basics. And it's a real famine in the Christian landscape. People just don't know. And because they don't know, they're not sure what direction to go even to study. They're not sure what group says this. Is this right? Is that right? You know, we have people on TV who are saying, Christians who are supposedly saying things like, we're little gods, but not in the big G sense. Or Jesus died and went to hell and finished the atonement in hell. And Christians aren't sure, is that true or is it false? And of course, both those are false. And so I just try and help people and see the truth and write in a simplistic way, not an insulting, demeaning way, but just bring it down. As Walter Martin, the great apologist, said, get the hay off the loft down to the cows where they can eat it. And that's what I try and do. And that's what karm.org does.
You would no doubt agree after saying that, that the discernment level within the Christian community is certainly lacking. And what do you do, though, when a lot of this lack of discernment can be seen quite readily, even among many of the Christian leaders in our country? I mean, I think I could probably count on one hand, maybe two, of Christian leaders that we have in the United States who are aware of, I mean, very aware of the prevalence of false doctrine that is permeating the Christian community. And very few are speaking out on this. If, in fact, our leaders don't seem to know what's going on, what do we expect from the flock?
Very little. When I teach Bible studies, in fact, something very interesting has happened. I go to Calvary Chapel in Idaho, and the pastor asked me to start teaching a study. I said, sure, no problem. So 2 weeks ago, we started, and I went through just the basics on the Bible. Is it reliable? I'm supposed to do that. And then the next week, which was this week, a couple days ago, supposed to do on basic Christian theology. All right, so the first week on just the Bible, is it reliable? We started at 7, supposed to end at 8. We quit at 10. We went for 3 hours. And I kept saying to them, are you sure you don't want to go? And they kept staying. Okay, so next week I taught on basic Christian theology, the Trinity, person of and work of Christ, salvation, tied it into all kinds of other areas. And at 8 o'clock again, I said, time to go. And they stayed. We didn't quit till 10:30. Mm. People are really interested, I'm finding. They want to know what the Bible really teaches. And there's a famine out there. It seems to me, this is just an opinion, an observation, maybe you would agree, that too many of the teachers out there, what they're doing is just tickling ears. Get people in the congregation. Success is measured by the numbers, not by the truth as it relates to God's Word. And so they get numbers, and when you preach a message to get numbers in, you can't preach a message like I would preach. I would preach a tough stuff. When the Bible says it's tough, I'm preaching it. You know, we're sinners saved by grace. And well, when you start preaching messages to get numbers in, you can't do that with, not that I preach fire and brimstone sermons, but you can't do it with that kind of a thing. You're going to preach in such a way that people are comfortably drawn in, and that's the kind of message you're going to have to continue to preach in order to get people to come in and stay in. So what happens is, in my opinion, there's a compromise in the Word of God and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, that the hard, deep things of Scripture are avoided because it might make people feel uncomfortable. And so the Christian church is becoming weak, anemic. It is atrophying in so many areas, and it can't even discern some of the problems that are within the Christian church and some of the serious issues. Universalism is being taught. The increase of the idea that God doesn't know all things is being taught, or that there's a deification in us, or that, and believe it or not, this is a problem, that it's completely up to us to choose God. In our sinfulness, in our rebellion against God, it's just up to us to choose God. And that's not what the Bible says. But these things are uncomfortable. People don't want to hear them. And so, as the Bible says in the last days, the people gather teachers to tickle their ears, to tell them what they want to hear. And this is what I'm seeing in the Christian church.
A great deal. One of the things I think is most rewarding about being involved in the ministry, such as you and I are involved in, and it's not easy because we are in an area where we are bound to make people unhappy. Mm-hmm. We are going to say things to a certain people group that they're not going to be excited about. And they're going to respond in kind. And many times people don't know how to respond in a very gentle manner. We try very hard to do that on our end, but they don't really know how to do it on their end.
And you do a good job, actually. You answer very nicely and very patiently most of the time. Seriously.
Most of the time.
Absolutely. About 90% of the time. I'm a little bit more direct.
Mm-hmm. Well, the point is that we're trying to get people to think through some of these things. This is why we try and devise ways, or come up with strategies that hopefully will get somebody to think through this. We don't want to basically, though we do want them to believe a certain way, a biblical way, of course, but we want them to understand why they should be believing that.
Right.
And sadly, as you've brought out, the doctrinal aspect in our Christian churches is often, put off to the side. The churches have become more of a how to be successful, how to be a good husband, how to be a good businessman, how to be a good employee or a good father. Folks, if you just know what the Bible says on these issues, all that kind of stuff tends to fall in place. And
I like the five steps to a better life, the seven steps to a happier marriage, and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
And there's nothing wrong with being a good father, a good husband, certainly. But I think as Christians, we have a responsibility to know what the Word of God is all about, and so that we can not only be prepared to respond to people who may disagree, but we can also be the Christian that God wants us to be. But we're going to continue this conversation tomorrow, and I hope you'll join us.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.